Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
My heart is broken. Tears run down my face. How great is the pain in my heart. I am undone. I cannot fathom the deepest rebellion in the heart of man that is chosen to contend with the Almighty. Oh, how great is the sin of the human race, and that sin being unconfessed, repented of. Oh, how I long to save the world. Oh, how I long to bring my creation back to myself. Oh, how I would desire the complete redemption of the entire race of humanity. Yet, I will not contend forever. I will not tolerate the wickedness of man any longer. The cup is full. The sins of this generation have filled up that which has been since the foundation of the world. Corruption oozes out like an open sore. Defilement fills the streets of every city in the world. A great stench of unholy filth permeates throughout the world. It is full. It is full, says the Lord. The world is full of unconfessed sin and iniquity. Now I will judge. Now will I loose the trumpet angels upon an arrogant race of unredeemed and unwilling men and women. Now will I move swiftly through the states and unlock the monsters from the underworld. I will allow that which has been feared to come upon the nations of the earth, even a darkness that has been incomprehensible. I am stirring the depths of evil, and am opening the pit from which terrible and fierce foes shall arise and go forth into the whole earth. It has been written, and now it shall be fulfilled. I have spoken and have warned the nations of the earth of the wrath to come. Now is the time of wrath. Now is the time of undoing. I am loosening the terrors of hell, and am sending forth my great army upon a resistant people whose faces are as there is no turning in their hearts, and their sins are ever before me. They have resisted the Holy One and shall not escape the wrath to come. It is near. It is near to fall. The final preparations are being made for my people who are entering into the Sabbath of the Lord. There is a day of rest, a 1,000-year period of time that has been ordained for my people, and they are even now making the final preparations for the Sabbath to end all Sabbaths. The powers of darkness are increasing all over the world, and that which has been written shall now appear. The mystery of iniquity that has been shut up against light shall now come forth out of the hearts of men and women and will resolutely resist the conviction of my spirit. thus hardening their hearts against any ability to turn to be saved. These are the ones who have been created for destruction. These are the ones who have chosen death. These are the ones who have refused to bow the knee in life and will surely bow before my throne before final execution. I feel the hot displeasure of the Lord. I sense his wrath and indignation against those who have been indignant against him and those who claim to be his. I will keep silent no more, says the Lord, as wrath is poured out upon the nations. I will keep silent no more as I shake the foundations of the earth. I will keep silent no more as I shut the door to the ark of my safety and loose the fires of purification and judgment. I will keep silent no more while those who call themselves by my name try to organize themselves. I will move sovereignly against the will of men and angels, and I will work my work without the help of any man. I say to all the earth, be silent before me. Let no man open his mouth, and let no man utter words from his lips, for the lips of men are filled with deceit. I will speak through those who have been sanctified by my words. Hear now the word of the Lord. No longer pray for the nations, no longer mourn for the lost, no longer wait for the wicked to turn, for I have shut the doors of opportunity. Wait no more for the harvest of souls to come in, for I tell you that all who have been appointed to life have already entered in. No longer weep for the sinners, for I am pouring my wrath upon all who sin, beginning with the sinners within my camp. No longer tolerate that which is abominable, for I will tolerate it no more. No longer be led by your feelings, emotions, ways, for I tell you that mine are higher ways than yours. No longer plan the path of your feet, for I am taking away all paths and will leave only one to follow. Death, destruction, defeat. Yes, I am pouring out my wrath to destroy. I am come to wound the conscience of those who hate me and those who chose not the fear of the Lord. I am come to awaken the righteous to judgment and sinners to everlasting shame and contempt. O slumbering nation, fat with the wool of the sheep, your time has come to be held accountable. And I come to undo all your plots and plans. I will uncover your theme and scheme and show the wretchedness of your ways. I will reveal the hidden agenda and put a stop to the manipulation. But many, I say many, will awaken too late and will not be able to find their way back. These shall be lost in eternal flames of darkness and torment. These will have lost their opportunity for life. These shall taste the everlasting flames of destruction, and their worms shall never die, because they did not choose the fear of the Lord, nor have they repented of their ways. These shall inherit the wind and will bring the whirlwind upon themselves. Now is the time, and it will be delayed no more. Suddenly the eyes of this generation shall see these things come to pass. My word has gone forth from my mouth, and it will not return void unto me. I have sent out my spear and am piercing the serpent in the sea. I am standing against all hypocrisy and false concepts and ideas that have blinded the eyes of my people. I am awakening Leviathan that I might pierce him through. Expect the raising up of the seven heads and ten horns, for surely Leviathan shall arise. Yet my sword is pointed at him. My arrows are released. My weapons of war have gone forth, and through them I will destroy this Leviathan. My power is released and will confront the heads of power and have dominated the earth. I have reserved the kingdom for my people, and they shall surely possess it. I will not rest, for my people have refused it so. I will not relent until all my purposes are fulfilled in the earth and sea. I send holy fire from the lips of my anointed, and they shall consume the power of the enemy. I am sending light into the darkness in this day of resurrection power, for it is I who have gone forth from the graves of dead religion. I am coming forth with zeal unknown to man. I will have my way again. I will say that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. I am taking this war to another level, and I will send the powers that oppose me into fretful delusions. I will cause the heads of this beast to spin, and confusion shall come upon the nations as the solical realm dives into uncontrollable gyrations. I say to my army in the earth, it is time to go forth. Let every man come forth out of his hiding place, for the time of battle has come. Arise, mighty warriors, for you have been prepared for such a time as this. It is your day, and it is the power of the kingdom. 2,000 years ago, it was the day of the powers of darkness, but in this time I say that it is the day of light. Come forth now and take your weapons of war. Sling your stones, O David. Wield your sword, mighty Samson. Come forth. into the battle, all you armies of the Lord. The time is now. The trumpet blows. Extinguish the lights of your dwellings and break forth into the light of a new day. Arise and slay the dragon. It is time. I have gone forth out of my place to confront the inhabitants of the earth. I have sent forth my angels to gather together my elect. My face shall be revealed from heaven against all those who have opposed me. Surely they shall see my face and in anguish shall seek to hide. Yet there is no hiding place for the wicked. I shall find them out, and they shall come forth into everlasting damnation. I warn the inhabitants of the earth upon whom the woe has come to examine your ways speedily, for the day of repentance is passing like chaff before the wind. The time of opportunity has come to a close, and all sides shall be settled. My rewards are with me, and I will deal them out accordingly. I come to shake the earth, to awake the sluggards, that some may be saved. I come to destroy the doctrines of men and devils, and have not produced the fruit of the seed, which is Christ. I come to shake every kingdom, that I may win the harvest. Gather in the grain, gather in the wheat, go into the fields, and make war with the heads and the horns. Whom shall I send? Who will go? On your ready. Now, a word of prophecy was also given about a disaster that will strike in the jewel of the fall. In the jewel of the fall. And I want to read this. This is out of Z3 News. And it says, a word was given by the Holy Spirit to a dear friend whose name was Chelsea Rebecca. She was given the words on August 22nd, 2018. And the words again were, disaster strikes in the jewel of the fall. I prayed for understanding, and the Lord gave me two signs with the word jewel on them within the hour of her telling me the message. I then knew that this was a serious word that needed further revelation. Then the Holy Spirit whispered into my ear these words, the apple of his eye, which is a reference to the Lord's relationship with Israel. What I heard in my spirit is that the apple of his eye is also the Lord's precious jewel. For thus saith the Lord in Zechariah 2:8, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Well, the word also speaks of the fall or autumn time of the year. So one possible interpretation of this message is that something disastrous is coming in the fall concerning Israel. The year was not given. However, we know that this year in September, President Trump might be releasing the new peace plan agreement that they have been working on between Israel and the Palestinians. This could have disastrous implications, not only for Israel, but America, if the land is divided or split. According to Breaking Israel News, Trump will be bringing the peace plan forward at the UN's 73rd General Assembly in New York City on September 25th, 2018, which is on the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. So the Lord then reminded me of a vision within a dream that I received in December of 2016 concerning the New Madrid fault earthquake and the dividing of Israel. In the vision, I saw an outline map of America. I didn't see the state lines, but only the outline of the U.S. Then the map zoomed to where the earthquake started, and I saw a black dot pulsating on the epicenter. The dot was in the upper part of the middle of the country. However, I wasn't sure of which state. It seemed higher than the New Madrid fault. Then I saw 9.5, indicating the level on the Richter scale. I was not giving any dates or timing. I was also shown that if Israel is divided, so shall America be divided. Many other watchmen and prophets have been shown the same thing, including Prophet Sadhu. Here is what he saw. He said, suddenly I saw an open vision right before my eyes. I saw a mighty angel with a long-drawn sword in his hand. He stood before me, speaking all of these words. Then he said, this is what will happen to the beast, or to the best friend that will betray Israel and divide Jerusalem. This, by the way, is recent. When he spoke those words, I saw this map of the U.S. like a three-dimensional. It appeared right before my eyes beside the angel. He took the sword and he pierced right into the heart of the U.S. He cut it in two. He said, likewise, will this nation be divided as Jerusalem will be divided. He cut the land into two, exactly in the center. If this peace agreement from President Trump is the peace agreement talked about in Daniel 9:27, then that could trigger the prophetic time clock of the seven-year tribulation. I believe that this tribulation will come as a judgment for the dividing of the land against Israel. And then Joel 3:2 says, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Could this word that was given to Chelsea Rebecca be pointing to the dividing or removal of land from Israel that could ultimately bring destruction? It could definitely be a warning for us to be paying attention and watching what might be coming in the fall. Dear saints in Christ Jesus, continue to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Pray without ceasing as we wait for all things to be revealed in His appointed time. You know what I love about words like these? They're not coming from the prophets. They're not coming from the watchmen. They're coming from women who are teachers. As a fact, Elizabeth Marie is a wife. She's a mother of a special ed teacher. She just, you know, is a follower of Jesus, and she receives dreams and visions from the Lord. And this is very unique to hear words like these coming from housewives and truck drivers and janitors and people that are just serving the Lord without any reputation. They're not out in there in the limelight of anything. They're just people that God is talking to, probably like He talked to Ananias when He woke him up in the middle of the night and said, I want you to go to a street called Straight and anoint a man by the name of Saul. You know, God just spoke to people that were available to Him. And sometimes when we're so caught into the, you know, who's who of Christianity, you know, everybody starts competing for ideas and so on and so forth. But these, I believe, visions and dreams are coming from people that are just serving the Lord. Now, why did I read these two prophecies? The first prophecy that I read to you, they were several different prophecies that came together. And I wrote those probably around 2006 and from anywhere from 2003, 2006. But I sent it out yesterday on Facebook, and going back to that prophecy, it was more of a, it was a now word. Behold, now. And you know, I did a study many years ago on the word now, because Jesus said, now is the prince of this world cast out, right? Now. And the word now means from this moment forward. That's what it means. From this moment forward, you will see these things come to pass. Now, how far forward? Only God knows. But the now word that God gives to those who have dreams and visions and prophetic mantles and watchman mantles and so on and so forth, now simply is God saying it right now, and from this time, you're going to see it unfold. So there are some very extreme and intense prophetic words. But last night, for whatever reason, we went to bed probably around, quarter to 12. We had a real late night because we had a late Bible study last night. And I just couldn't go to sleep. I probably slept for an hour, 2 hours, maybe three, because I remember waking up. It was 2-something in the morning, and I was kind of tossing back and forth in my bed, and I got up for a glass of water. And, you know, and of course, you know, there it is. And my eyes pop open. I jump out of bed. It's 2:59 and 3 o'clock in the morning. There's that 3 o'clock in the morning thing. I grab my Bible. I go into the little den, and I turn the light on. I could hardly see anything. I flip open my Bible. And, you know, I've been studying. I study the New Testament all the time. I love the New Covenant. I'm a New Covenant person. I love the New Covenant. But I opened up to Ezekiel chapter 7, and I just started reading it. And I simply read these words, and I want to share them with you, because yesterday we put out that now word. We have the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, the jewel. You know, I can't believe of a greater jewel. I know Israel is a jewel, but I know this prophecy I just read to you from this woman, disaster strikes and the jewel of the fall. The jewel of the fall is the Feast of Tabernacles, and that concludes on October 1st, by the way. And, you know, we have no thus saith the Lord, but we believe that there will be an October event, and we believe that October event is going to release some intense destruction, particularly in Washington, D.C. And we believe that, if this was revealed so many years ago and time has advanced to where we are now, my God, it's closer than we've ever believed. And that's that word now. But here's what the prophet Ezekiel said. And this is what God woke me up for last night. I read this. I closed my Bible. I went to bed and I slept until 7 o'clock this morning. So here's the word. And I think you should pay attention to it. And I think everybody should pay attention to it. And this is a prophet called Ezekiel. It's a message that was given to Israel thousands of years ago. It was placed in this book we call the Bible, which is an inspired word. And we could go back and we could read what happened in the days of Abraham with Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet in the New Covenant, it says what happened then will happen to anybody that follows their example. And so Ezekiel's writing a message, and any nation that would follow what Israel did in their rebellion and defiance against God will be met with the same disaster. We know this. And so the word of the Lord over the nation of America and its capital in Washington, D.C. And I begin in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel. An end, the end, is come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end come upon thee, and I will send my anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. Now, what I want to do is I want to just look at a few words here as we run through this. First of all, in verse 3, after the proclamation of what God is going to do, he's declaring an end. And I want you to see that. He doesn't say it one time. He says in verse 2, an end, the end is come upon the four corners of the land. That's complete destruction, not just a third or a quarter or two thirds. It is a complete destruction. That's what the four corners of the land means. So there's a complete destruction that's coming. And verse 3 said, now is the end come upon thee. Now is the end. So in two verses, we have three. And I will send my anger. All right. So we go back to Isaiah chapter 10. We know that the seed of Ishmael, they were the Lord's indignation and his wrath, his anger. It was a people, right? So God says, I will send my anger upon you and will judge you according to your ways and will recompense upon you all thine abominations. Now, we don't have to go down the list anymore of the abominations that have been committed in the land of America. Okay? But we know that a recompense is basically to rend a judgment that is consistent with the offense. When a person goes to jail or stands before a judge, their crimes are read out against them. Okay? And then the judge, according to the law, hands down a sentence upon the offender, something that is consistent with what he's done. To the level of his crime will be the level of judgment. So when we stand back in a court and we look at the holy judge of the universe, and he says now to a nation, his own nation, a covenanted nation like Israel was, now I'm going to recompense you. I am going to strike. I am going to give the sentence. I am going to distribute to you. All right. This is all the meaning of this word. I am going to recompense upon you all your abominations. The abominations is toevah, toevah. And that word toevah means a disgusting thing. In a ritual sense, it's all kinds of mixed marriages, idolatry, wickedness of every kind. This is the Hebrew meaning. It's an abhorrence. And it used to be in America that we abhorred the idea of abortion. We abhorred the idea of homosexuality. We abhorred the idea of somebody even using a curse word on television when Gone with the Wind, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn, right? That word was an abhorrence to the nation. It sent shockwaves through the nations. Well, since that time, we have progressed exponentially, and our crimes, our 80 million bloody crimes of shedding innocent blood and all the other things that we've done. Well, God says, I've let this generation go its way. I've sent many judgment to turn it away from the evil course. They have refused me. And so now I'm executing. Now I'm recompensing. Now I'm going to hand down and I'm going to execute the judgment against the nation. And verse 4 goes on to say, my eye shall not spare you, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense your ways upon you, and your abominations shall be in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So in verse 4, my eye shall not spare you, neither will I have pity on you. Well, in that prophetic word I read to you at the beginning, let me see if I could find it again real quick. This is the word that came at the very beginning, and it was basically saying, put away and stop weeping and stop praying for the nation. Okay, so here it is. The cup is full. The sins of this generation have filled up that which has been since the foundation of the world. Corruption oozes out like an open sore. Defilement fills the city streets. Let me find that again. Throughout the land, it is full. It is full, says the Lord. Defilement fills the city streets of every city in the world. A great stench of unholy filth permeates throughout the world. It is full. It is full. The world is full of unconfessed sin and iniquity. Now I will judge. Now will I loose the trumpet angels upon an arrogant race of unredeemed and unwilling men and women. Where does judgment begin? In the house of God. Now I will move swiftly. And he says what he's going to do in this. And then he tells them that this is the time of undoing. This is the time of wrath. I'm loosening the terrors of hell, and I'm sending forth my great army upon a resistant people. There is no turning back. And then God says, basically, stop praying for the nation. Put away your grief. You know, this is the righteous judgment of God. And God is saying it here. I'm not going to pity. I'm not going to spare. Because why? But I will recompense, in verse 4 of Ezekiel 7, your ways upon you, your abominations. It's kind of like we've come to the moment we're going to be held accountable. And that word was given, I'd say, 50 years ago. It was a now word. Repent or else. But remember the word now, from this time forward. And we've seen the judgments, but we have not turned. So now this is happening. Ezekiel 7:5, thus saith the Lord God, listen, an evil, an only evil, behold, is come. An end is come. The end is come. Watches for you. Behold, it is come. So there's no doubt in Ezekiel chapter 7, this prophetic word, you know, the prophet Ezekiel was declaring it now, right? The end is come. The evil has come. The recompense, the time of recompense has come. And only evil has come. It's watching for you. The end is watching for you, right? And then in verse 7, the morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land. The time is come. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon you and accomplish my anger upon you, and I will judge you according to your ways and will recompense you for all your abominations. There's that word recompense again. You're going to hear it several times in this prophecy. Ezekiel 7:9. And my eye, he repeats again, shall not spare. Neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee. And you shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. You know, this word, I see it happen in people's lives where families are obliterated. I mean, I have seen some stuff over the last 27 years in pastoral ministry. I've been made privy to a family, a husband, a wife, two children, and only after giving warning after warning from the pulpits, warning after warning, and nobody confessing, God exposed, a man was deported, sent to prison, children grew up without the Lord, angry because of, and I know when God says enough is enough, whether it's to an individual, whether it's to a family, whether it's to a church, whether it's to a community, when he says enough is enough, I'm telling you, it is not a pretty sight. And God, his heart is revealed in Ezekiel chapter 7. And he says this in verse 10. Behold the day. Behold, it is come. The morning is gone forth. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Violence is risen up into a rod of wickedness. Now, that word violence is the word. You ready? This is the Hebrew. Hamas. That's it. Go look it up. Now watch. You just talked about a strike in the jewel, right? The jewel. A disaster will strike in the jewel of the fall. Well, the Feast of Tabernacles, Israel, what rises up? Violence. What is that violence? Well, in the Hebrew, it is Hamas. Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization backed by Iran. And the word literally means damage, unrighteous violence. But what is God saying here? God is literally raising it up. Violence is risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of their multitude, nor any of theirs. Neither shall there be wailing for them. Okay? So I think we're getting some clues. Look at verse 12. Again, last night at 3 o'clock in the morning, God, I just couldn't sleep. I picked this up. I'm reading it. It's consistent with what I'm hearing all around me. Prophetic words of years gone by, being read again, sent out yesterday. It's all consistent. Verse 12, here it is again. The time is come. The day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn. For wrath all the multitude thereof. In other words, whether you're rich or poor, the disaster that is going to strike the United States of America, you're not going to be able to know the difference. Verse 13, for the seller shall not return to that which is sold, although they were yet alive. In other words, this is going to last a long time. For the vision is touching the whole multitude thereof, which shall not return. Neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life. So again, this touches the four corners. This is talking about total destruction. The vision is touching the whole multitude, the mixed multitude here in the United States of America, maybe in Israel as well. Verse 14, this is consistent. They have blown the trumpet. Yes, the watchmen have blown the trumpet. The prophets for 50 years have blown the trumpet in this country, this Judeo-Christian nation. They have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, but none goeth to the battle, for my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. You know why? People can't respond to the word of God today. Because the wrath of God is on them. Verse 15, the sword is without, and the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword. He that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. By the way, let me just digress for a moment. How many of you remember when God sent Jonah to Nineveh? And it said Nineveh was a great city, right? Did you know that it says there was like 80,000 or 120,000 people in that great, big, massive city? 120,000? Do you know how many people are in Los Angeles? 16 million? How many are in New York City? About the same. How many are in Chicago? How many are in St. Louis? We have cities today just in this country with tens of millions of people in the cities. Nineveh was such a corrupt city, kind of like Chicago, right? A very cruel city. Nineveh was such a corrupt city that God sent his prophet Jonah to warn them in 40 days. And the 120,000 people that were there, the 120,000 people, they all repented because the king commanded it. You know, the governor of that place commanded it. Today we have cities all over the world with millions. And I'm here to tell you that a population control event is at the door. You know, there's too many people on the planet right now, folks, according to the population control mandate. Verse 16. But they that escape the sword, the famine, the pestilence, they that escape of them shall escape and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, everyone for his iniquity. Jesus said, it's time to flee the cities and go into the mountains. And the people that do escape will find themselves in a lifestyle that's totally different than what they were enjoying and comfortable with while they were living in Babylon, while they were living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Like Lot, he had a house, he had a family, but man, his righteous soul was vexed every day. And the time came that the angels led Lot out into the wilderness. And look what happened to him. Look what happened to him. We could tell that story on another day. Verse 18. They also, verse 17, Ezekiel 7:17, all hands shall be feeble and all knees shall be weak as water. They shall also gird themselves with sackcloth and horror shall cover them and shame shall be upon all faces and baldness upon all their heads. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. Now, how shall their gold be removed? Remember, this is God's wrath that is coming. This is God's anger. But who was God's wrath? Who was God's anger in Isaiah's prophecy? It was the Ishmaelites. It was the Assyrians. The Assyrians. Then came the Babylonians. And all of these people groups that were more wicked than the people of God, but the people of God were under more judgment because they knew better. So God employed the wicked to bring judgment and destruction and disaster and wrath upon his own people because of their purposeful rebellion against what they knew was right in turning the people's minds away from God. Our generation has done that imperfection, the minds of the people, and particularly this generation, away from the Lord. So how will the gold be taken away? Why will your silver and gold be of no value? Because when this day comes, a mark of the beast will be employed upon the nation. After it is broken, after it is destroyed, there will be a period known as the Great Tribulation where you will not be able to buy or sell. You will not be able to use anything. And they've taken gold away from the masses before, haven't they? There's something of a disaster being spoken of here, that money is not going to work. Consider the words of God, not mine. Verse 20, as for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty, but they made the images of their abominations and of their detestable things therein. Therefore have I set it far from them, and I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they shall pollute it. In other words, God gave his jewel to Israel, but they disgraced it. And so the wicked are going to spoil it, and they're going to pollute it, the glory of God that was given, the jewel of the Lord. Verse 22, my face will I turn also from them, his own people, and they shall pollute my secret place, for the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. In other words, God's going to turn his back on Israel and allow the enemy to go in. He's done it again and again and again. And guess what? God is going to allow the enemy to come to America, and he's going to turn his back. And what he's telling us through all these prophecies, it's happening right now. And the robbers are going to enter in. They're going to defile it. Look, we had Islamic terrorists in New Mexico training kids to kill that have been completely and totally let go free. Under Barack Hussein Obama's administration, the Muslim Brotherhood came to power in places you and I have no idea. There's something wrong, folks. There's something wrong when our judicial system, right on the heels of the Parkland, Florida shooting on February 14th last year, when those 17 people were killed and the nation rallied and said, never again, here we have jihadi terrorists training kids to do the same thing, being let go free. Something's wrong. Verse 22. Oh, I just read that. My face will I turn also from them. They shall pollute my secret place, for the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. 23. Make a chain. Make a chain. For the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Wherefore, I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. What is God saying very clearly in 24? I am bringing the worst of the heathen to the shores of America, and they're going to possess this land. Verse 25. Destruction cometh, not judgment. I want you to notice that. Judgment is designed to turn people away, but when judgment is refused, destruction comes. And here's what it says in verse 25 again. Destruction comes, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Remember Jesus said, nation shall rise against you. There'll be wars, rumors of wars, one after the other. Mischief shall come upon mischief. Rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest and counsel from the ancients. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deeds will I judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Well, that's it. Those are the words that God gave to me at 3 o'clock in the morning. This morning, I'm putting them together with other people's messages, and I just heard from Lance Waldo. He did a little 12 or 15-minute video. Lance is a pretty decent teacher. I don't know him at all, but he had a file that came forth, some secret document leaked out from Donald Trump, who was urging the evangelical Christians that if they this is what President Trump said. I mean, it was written. It's documented in voice. He told them that the Christians are so hated that if they lose this upcoming primary, these elections, everything that they have will be lost. And I sit there and I think, okay, you know, we could get the Christians out there to vote, to win the vote, which would be very important. You know, the left has been doing nothing for 2 years but fighting against this whole political process. But when I read the words of God, I do not leave things up to the vote of the people. That's secondary. I look to what God says he's going to do when a nation offends him the way that we have offended him or Israel offended him. I leave it to your comments. The number to call, 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. And so someone's saying, well, wait, what about the good people? What about the holy elect of God? Well, have you read your Bible? God has prepared a wilderness, a place in the wilderness for the overcomer. God has a seal that he sets upon those who are uncompromisingly righteous. God said it in Ezekiel chapter 9 when he sent the man with the inkhorn to mark those who sigh and cry for the abominations that are committed in the land. In the book of Revelation, there's another mark on the foreheads of those who are uncompromisingly righteous, according to Revelation 14. In Revelation 12, he leads them into the wilderness where they're nurtured for 3.5 years from the face of the serpent and the dragon. So will there be a provisional place? Yes, for those who make it. I know a lot of preppers that are out there prepping that their prep is going to mean nothing if they're not under the seal. If they're not under the sealed covenant through the blood of Jesus, I don't care how much they prepare. In what wilderness? At the end of the earth, it doesn't matter. They'll be found out. And in the last days, we're going to find out who is going to be in the protective hedge. You may belong to a community and think, man, I got it made. I belong to a community. But the day the disaster comes, you may be far away from that community and not able to make it back because God said no. We've got to look at these things. But I'd love to hear from you today. Again, the number to call, we've got just a few minutes left, about 15. 818-369-0326. What did you hear today? What have you heard today? Now, we're going to be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. We're moving forward. We hear the prophetic word. We get it. We're watching. We're waiting. We're hosting. We're going to gather God's people. And I think there's wisdom in gathering together for the Feast of the Lord, because maybe during the fall, during the Feast of Tabernacles, when disaster strikes, maybe God's people will be brought into that place that God has chosen to celebrate his feast. And that may become a preservation. I don't know. I suspect one day that there will be people that honor the Lord with their hearts and not their lips, that will be gathered together to honor the Lord for his feast and not their own, that probably that would be a great time for the disaster to strike, because God will have his people protected all over the world in these little places called Goshen, and he'll create environments of provision for his people because they were in the right place at the right time doing the right thing with the right people right now. So what are your thoughts? Number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We've had many of these conversations through the years. I understand that. We have had many of these conversations through the years. I am sending forth every prophetic word I have right now. Or in Facebook, we're getting a lot of different responses because the now is closer now than when we began the now. And I know we've talked about many of these things for a long time. And I sense a resurgence of the Spirit of God quickening the seed of the messages that had been given years ago. But those seeds are blossoming into fruitions now. And so this is a time of fruition, both for the good things and the prophetic words of God. Let's take our first call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. About the seal that you were bringing out of God, as you were ministering these words this morning, that is what was resonating in my mind and my spirit. They are the ones that will be kept, and only them. It doesn't matter about all the material things that people are doing, these peppers, like you say, but it's the seal. And I believe that as the Holy Ghost is dealing now so much with people to get in that place spiritually there. And I know it was over 2 years ago that we were in a prayer meeting, and the Lord was speaking to us about the seal And we went around, and the Holy Spirit, we had hands laid on, and it was right in our heads that the seal of God. And I pray to God that the people that were at that meeting, that they pressed on, because they will be those that will stand in this last time.
Well, amen to that. That's an amazing witness right there, Kathy. And we need to be assured that the seal spoken of in the book of Revelation in the forehead of the overcomers is not the same seal of Ephesians, that we've all been sealed with the Holy Spirit. These are different seals, and they are specific, and they are designed. The seal for the overcomers is because they, in Revelation chapter 14, they sing a new song as it was before the throne and before the Lord. And they what are they? These are they which are not defiled with women. They are virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed. There's no guile in their mouth. There's nothing there. They are without fault before the throne of God. And so those 144,000 represent a remnant within the entirety. So great point. And yes, I hope that the people that believe that they have this seal are really sealed, because without this seal, you see, we have property. I have a place where I like to call the ark. It's land that God gave for the body of Christ, and it's a place of provision. It's an ark. But do you know, if unrighteousness is in that place at all, that place will get wiped out like everything else will get wiped out. It'll turn into an evil thing. So, you know, people cannot just presuppose because they've done something, it's going to work. What is going to work is the seal of God. It is the dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And we just read in Ezekiel that even the secret place is going to get wiped out. So we better really understand what's being spoken of in prophecy.
Yes. And coming out of Babylon, which is that Babylonian spirit, and it's everywhere. And let me tell you, a religious order, it's just horrible what is going on inside of the so-called organized religious churches. And you can't find nothing in them, because they have gone so far now away from God.
Yeah. And you know, Kathy, waking up as early as I did at 3 o'clock this morning, reading all this, you know, having this conversation on the air, I have to call this the truth. I just have to believe God's saying something, and it's a matter of time before we see it. But we have another call coming in. Let me just take hold of this call. And this is coming from 479-866. Good morning. God bless you, and welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing wonderful, Pastor Ken. How are you?
Well, I'm blessed. We got our house back today. Praise God. That's a long story. We won't get into it. But,
okay.
You know, I couldn't help but listen. You know, and I hear people running around talking about saying, oh, I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to have to worry about this. I'm not going to have to worry about the tribulation. I got everything in order. Do they really? I mean, receiving Jesus as Lord was the first step. Agreed. That opened up the door. But there's a lot of work to go ahead and do to continue on. Jesus even said that the road to heaven is a very narrow road, a very narrow place. And I can see a whole bunch of people trying to get in there and falling off the edges because they haven't prepared. You know, one of the things that I often talk about, and you've heard me say it before too, the eyes that you have, look in the mirror. And those lies don't lie to you when they're looking back. And you say, I'm ready to go. I've done everything you wanted me to do, Lord. And I can almost guarantee you that most of us will say, uh-huh, you're lying, son. You're lying. You're lying. You know, we really need to listen, to read the Word, know the Word, listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to the Word of God as it touches our hearts, and begin the cleansing process. Because until we do, we're not going to see heaven. You know, that's a simple truth, and a lot of people will try and refute what I'm saying, but I really believe that is the absolute truth if we're not following and doing exactly what we're told to go ahead and do.
It's a great word. And, you know, it's so interesting when you read the Bible and people have this conversation. You brought up an excellent point. Some people will really struggle with that idea. Well, you know, heaven's going to be filled with people that were sinners and all these things. And they were. But the Bible doesn't say many will come to me in the last day and be super surprised because they made it into heaven. He doesn't say that. He said many are going to come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, open up. And he's going to say, I don't know you. Not the few, but the many. And so the great surprise is going to come upon mankind. But at that moment, it's eternal. And I just can't fathom eternal separation from God. In my mind, I can't fathom it. In my heart, I can't fathom it. Kathy, Ken, I just can't fathom being separated from God forever and living on earth in a blindness, in a deception, pretending or thinking or hoping that I'm going to go to heaven, but not having a genuine assurity because of the conduct of my life that is pleasing to the Lord. I think we're putting ourselves at a great risk, and we're doing a terrible disservice to ourselves by just, assuming that we're going to be okay. Man, it's got to be better than that. And if people are going through things in their heart that are unclean or harsh, they need to be crying out to God rather than laughing and partying and having a good time and looking for this and that and the other thing. We should be crying out to God, but there seems to be so little conviction anymore. Your thoughts?
Well, I believe the spirit of Christ in mankind has caused the people not to fear God. And I am so happy to see how God is raising up, like you were bringing out, ordinary people that are giving the word of the true word of the Lord to present to the remnant and the body of Christ.
Well, amen. Amen to that. Praise God. Pastor Ken, a comment.
You brought up an interesting word on there when you said assuming. You know, when we assume, we're in trouble. Because assuming means we don't really know for sure. And if you don't know for sure where you stand, you're in trouble. And I don't want to be on that teeter-tottering fence post over here. And I don't want to take the chance of falling off. So I need to make sure that I'm doing what I am supposed to do. I mean, literally, this. Well, there's only one way to look at it. Look at that word assume. Put it into three syllables. The first three, then the next, and then the last ones. That really begins to tell you a lot about that, too. And, you know, I was being very frank when I said that, but that's something we cannot just assume. We need to be bold and righteous in God's eyes, and the only way to do that is to listen to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God and do what it says.
Amen, amen. Excellent points for both. I appreciate it so much, both Kathy and Ken calling in today. I leave you with the words out of Matthew chapter 5, something that we've all heard, something we've all read, but this is an answer to those that may be saying, well, what do I do? Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse, oh, where are we? I always get a little bit mixed up there. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. You know, in the days that Jesus spoke that, the Romans were occupying in the house of Israel, if you will. And he was calling the people that were following him to shine his lights and to be salt so that the world around them, the Gentile world of the Romans, and even the religious world of the Jews, would see their light and taste their salt. And he finalizes, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is what we do, okay? This is what we do. Now, if we don't have any salt, and we're not salty, and we're hiding our light under a bushel, it's probably because of sin. It's probably because of dryness. And so we need to pray, if we're still in tune with God, that he will saturate our land with the Holy Ghost anointing so that we could be the light rays of his brilliant glory in the darkest days that are coming on the face of the earth. God is a God of love. To me, there is no doubt about that. I'm going to leave you with a song by Corey Mulberry that is simply called the Reckless Love of God. I hope you'll enjoy the song. Patricia Joy Xavier is up next right here on the Omega Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I found no word,
this
you
is Patricia Xavier of Omega Radio, New Wine Ministry, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And I welcome you today, and we are going to talk about a few things that I think is important for the times we're in. And this is what we do on a normal basis, but we're going to zero in today on the Feast of Tabernacles. And why should I do that at a time like this? It's because at a time like this is going to have more meaning than it's ever had. And it has the significant gathering together in unity with Christ as our head, as an example of those who will rule and reign with him in the coming kingdom that will be established in the millennium and forever. And right now, the kingdom is within us, and slowly, as we make declarations of who we really are, it begins to outray from us into the earth, into the world, and its ideas and concepts of truth and falsity. We break the darkness that has come upon this world. In fact, which has always been upon this world, and the only light there has been is the light of Christ, the true and living Messiah. So let's talk a little bit about the Feast of Tabernacles. It starts in Leviticus 23, and I'm going to read between 42 and 43, the next two scriptures, describes the purpose of the festival. And it speaks in this manner: you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israel shall dwell in booths. Well, as type and shadow, don't we dwell in booths when we dwell in Christ? He is our safety. He is our complete covering as the booth was. There is an analogy, and types and shadows in everything of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, it goes on to say, your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. We too, out of the land of Egypt, and Egypt is described in many scriptures in its analogy as the world. So we too have been brought out from the world. We know we are a generation that is unusual and different from the generations of the past because of the times we're in. And again, the Feast of Tabernacles depicts a time such as this, and that these booths are what we have come into, the dwelling place of the Lord. And he says, I am your God. And the festival of Ol was Yahweh's gracious provision, not only during the wilderness wanderings, but also the recent harvests. We have a great harvest coming, but we too right now are dwelling in the wilderness. We're wandering through, looking and seeking our position, our destiny in Christ. And so this gracious Lord God Almighty of ours has given us every provision we need to continue on, and the great harvest is about to break forth. So Christ is the tabernacle of God. Apostle John presents the Lord Jesus as the ultimate tabernacle of God. And on two occasions, he describes the God-man using tabernacle language. God-man using tabernacle language. And in John 1:14, we learn that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And interestingly enough, the word eskenosis that John uses, meaning dwelt, is derived from the Greek verb skino, which is related to the noun skinos, meaning tent. So you see, it all wraps itself up from the Old to the New Testament. It's a wrap-up. That's what it really is, a wrap-up of the Old Testament. And the wrap-up is we in the New Testament fulfilling all things in Christ Jesus. And so John uses dwelt, skinu, tabernacled is what it means, skinu, tabernacled, to show that God now dwells with his people through Jesus, the true temple. See how that works? You see the revelation knowledge, the type and shadow, the analogy? In Revelation 21:3, it states that the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. In effect, the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles was inaugurated at Christ's incarnation. And that's in John 1:14, and will be consummated at his second coming when he ushers in the new heaven and new earth. So we are celebrating this moment. His coming is at the door, people. It's at the door. Could be at any time soon. And he is making a proclamation in the gathering of the Feast of Tabernacles that I am gathering all of mine elect together so that they may know one another and be built as living stones one upon the other. And then I will dwell in those living stones forever. And I will make my abode in them, and they will be the household of faith. takes living stones to make a house. And we will be the household of faith. We are celebrating this incredible time in the Feast of Tabernacles of the fulfillment of all things in Christ Jesus. And remember that the feasts were established before there was the law of Moses. This isn't all Hebrew, Jewish. This is all Christ from the very beginning until this very moment in time. And he established it, Genesis, in the very beginning. He used certain words to explain in the Hebrew the word feasts, that he shall fulfill. Now, there has been a fulfilling of the feast of Passover when Jesus Christ shed his blood, and that was an example of the Lamb of God whose blood was put on the lintel or the doorway of the Israelites, and they left Egypt. They left the world system and went out to establish the land of Israel. And you see, all this is a type and shadow of us who was in the world. The blood of Jesus has been put over our mantle, our doorway, so to speak, in our mind, in our heart, in our soul. We have that blood, and we came out of the world, and we are now being established in the kingdom of God. So that's Passover, the Lamb of God that shed his blood to bring forth glory upon his people by removing all sin in their lives. We celebrated that in a Passover. And then in the feast of the Pentecost, when they were in the upper room, in the time that Jesus left this earth, resurrected into heaven, and gave man the first time his absolute incredible Holy Spirit to gain the world by, they were absolutely inundated with the Holy Spirit for the first time in the history of the world, and fire came on them, on top of their head, and you could see it in the spirit realm. It was powerful. It was a wind blowing of new life and new gathering. They were gathered together in the upper room. And that was fulfilled in Pentecost after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostles were there to witness it all. And it was written as a remembrance of not to forget. And as a witness, it was written. And now we're coming to the Feast of Tabernacles. And body of Christ, this feast has never been fulfilled. But it is about ready to be fulfilled. And who knows that if this moment in time, September 23rd of 2018, will bring the absolute completion of all things in the fulfillment of gathering together, or at least an established work to go in that direction furiously and fast by the movement of the Holy Spirit in our life as never before, because we gathered together as with the same that was in the upper room, the elect of God. And if you are the elect of God and you know that God has called you to be among his elect, then you need to be there to celebrate. And if you can't make it to ours, September 23rd, and it's all on our website, you can go to our website and it's all there to be seen and to be recognized as what will be going on, what will be done, and how we will celebrate. The tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and he will when we gather together, and they shall be his people, and we are his, and God himself shall be among them. No other God do we have. In effect, the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, Christ
in us the hope of glory. And that glory will usher in. It will usher in greater than it's ever been before as we are lifted from glory to glory in the glorification of His church, the glorification of His elect. Time is now at hand. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle typified Christ's person and work. Now that means His personage and work in us. Again, it's in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And just as the tabernacle was the only means of entering into Yahweh's blessed presence, our Heavenly Father's blessed presence, because He can't see us any other way, He can't receive us any other way, it is only through Jesus Christ that the elect have access in one spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. And that's written in Ephesians 2:18. Check it out. You know, at that time, even the sacred furniture of the tabernacle in the Old Testament prefigured the Lord Jesus. Nothing was left out. For instance, the brazen altar foreshadowed His once for all time sacrifice to put away sin. Folks, do you hear what I'm saying? To put away sin, that we sin no more, that we, His elect, put away sin. We consider ourselves dead to sin, as was spoken of in Romans 6. And we put away sin because the sacrifice has been made, Hebrews 9:26-28. And in the Old Testament, the altar of incense speaks of Christ's current high priestly ministry of intercession on behalf of His new covenant people. And even the veil separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place prefigured the Lord Jesus. We saw that when He was on the cross. The writer to the Hebrew declares that the Lord Jesus opened for His people the new and living way. The Old Testament is a type of shadow of what is to be. And in the New Testament, it fulfills all things from the old. The new and living way into God's presence through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, Hebrews 10:20. And then the Ark of the Covenant pictured both Christ's work and the eminent presence of God in Christ. The eminent presence of God in Christ. The God-man Jesus Christ is the one and only mediator between God and men. Not Confucius, not Buddha, not Zoroaster, not any Hindu gods. No, no, no. God was in Jesus Christ. And He proved it by overcoming sin itself, overcoming the devil, so we may overcome sin itself. It was proof. No other false god has done that for us. We have been cleansed of every sin we have ever committed, not by mantras or any other means or ways of bringing fruit to a statue, but by the way of bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives through this incredible work that was done on the cross by the Holy Spirit, opened the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ Himself. Resurrected from the dead. No other idol, no other God has ever resurrected from the dead. We worship the true and living God. There is no other. There is no other in the Muslim belief system or any other systems of religiosity on the face of this earth. It is Christ and Christ alone who has done the work on our behalf, and God was in him. God came into the flesh of a man to dwell on this earth so that he can understand our likeness and show us the most perfect way to go. And yet Jesus was altogether man, but there was one thing he did that we could do also, and we are given the Holy Spirit to do so. We can follow, we could submit, and we could do what he did, Jesus Christ, do what our Heavenly Father tells us to do, Yahweh. So we are of that particular people who have a true God, not Allah, a true God, directing our path to a perfection. We are to be made perfect through the unity of the body of Christ. And there again is the Feast of Tabernacles celebration. It is so much of glorious ways and means. And then John the Apostle also refers to Christ as a tabernacle temple. And in Revelation 21:22 and John 2:19 through 21 refers to the New Jerusalem. There was the old Jerusalem in the natural, and now we're coming into the realm of the New Jerusalem. And this Jerusalem is made without human hands. It is a spiritual work of God. And in Revelation 21:22, it says, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ." And in John 2:19 through 21, Jesus speaks about the temple of his body. He tells the Jews, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And Christ likewise fulfills that very thing. He was killed on the cross, destroyed, put to death, carried our sins, went into hell, and he made a fool of Satan, resurrected from the dead, overcame the work of the evil one, so that we are able to now, resurrected from the dead, and fulfilled all things in the Old Testament. And in Zechariah 6:12 and 13, he repeats the messianic branch, in this way. Branch will build the temple of the Lord, and then says he will rule on his throne and be a priest forever. Moreover, the beloved disciples presents Christ as the anti-type of two particular pieces of tabernacle and temple furniture. For instance, the golden table of showbread spoke of Christ as the bread of life. That's in John 6:48. The bread of life. When you partake of the word, you partake of the bread of life. It brings life into your being. And the living bread that came down from heaven. He is the living bread, the living word that we partake of. And in John 6:51, and the sacred lampstand typifies Christ as the light of the world. Folks, there is no other true light. There is a false light, and you'll find them in teachings from idols, a false light, but it comes as an angel of light, but it's a counterfeit. The only true light, the only true light in the light of the world is Jesus Christ, and that's in John 8:12. And I know most of you know this about Jesus, about Yeshua, HaMashiach, about the Lord God Almighty coming to earth in flesh. I know most of you know this, but it needs to be understood and repeated within us until it's fully manifested in understanding and truth. And as the old covenant temples were described as sanctuaries from which flowed streams of living water, the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of living water. And in the new covenant, this is said. And many New Testament verses verify this particular truth. In his exchange with the Samaritan woman, Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." He's talking about himself. But guess what? We have this living water within us. It is a well of water coming up from our very being, in our solar plexus, coming up from the bowel area of our being and radiating outward living water. And people we touch and where we walk and what we do and who we're with will present greater and greater amount of this living water. The Word of God is the living water within us, Christ within us. Christ is the Word of God, according to the Word. In Revelation 7:17, it states that the Lamb, that is depict of Christ too, also, is the one who guides God's people to the springs of living water. But not only have we been guided, we have been given the living water within us, within our very being, by the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ sent as he resurrected up to be with his heavenly Father, gave to all men who will receive the heavenly Spirit, the Spirit of God Almighty, the Spirit of the Holy One, the Holy Spirit within us. Christ made that available to us. And in John 7:37-39, it is written, "On the last day of the feast, the great day they call it, the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Now this, he said about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that was fulfilled at Pentecost, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Have you received that same Spirit that was given to those who united together as a tabernacle people at Pentecost, united to receive the Spirit, the great, and believed, and he gave it to them? We will find out at the Feast of Tabernacles as we move together as one new man in the earth as to whether or not we have these living waters within us. Come to the Feast of Tabernacles and receive living water as you have not yet. And if you have, then it'll come and penetrate out from you to others, and it will gather together as a barrage of incredible rushing streams. For as yet the Spirit had not been given to them, but it will, if you have not received it. Some think they have the Holy Spirit, but really don't. And you can tell by their zeal in Christ Jesus whether or not they do. Emphasis, come. Be part of the Feast of Tabernacles. You will become a royal priesthood. You, as the priest did, would draw water from the pool of Siloam and carry it a solemn procession to the altar. And that altar is your heart. And he will pour it out. Come, be part of it. It is on our website. God bless you.